a Google update may strike. If your website goes down, then they may negotiate the offer and offer less money.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, all platforms try to do their absolute best to, you know, filter out just high kickers, but, you know, inevitably you're going to get people that are just not serious in buying the business. And but it's really great to hear that you were ultimately happy with, you know, the process and you ended up finding, you know, the deal that you were looking for. And it sounded like a pretty relatively smooth process, especially if you didn't do any due diligence, which is a bonus. Hey everybody, Kristen Jacobson here, and welcome to the Digital Dealmakers podcast. And today we have a very special guest with us, Georgi Todorov. Now, Georgi, just to give you a bit of a background about Georgi. So Georgi is a self-taught entrepreneur and content creator, and he's been featured in some pretty big publications like Forbes and Entrepreneur Magazine. And he previously built and sold his own content site for six figures. And he's now created a business called Create and Grow, which helps people build online businesses. So I'm very excited to have him as a guest on our show. And I met Georgi a while back at Affiliate World Barcelona, and ever since, you know, it's been a great journey since meeting him. So welcome to the podcast, and congratulations on being the first official guest on our podcast, man.
Hey, Kristen, it's such a great honor to be your first guest.
Awesome, man. And for those who may not know, Georgi actually has his own podcast, which I had a guest speaker on. So I'll definitely give you a plug for your podcast as well, and share that with people that are watching this show too. Just a bit of a collaboration for you.
Thanks, Kristen. Yeah, you were my first guest on my podcast as well.
Awesome, man. So look, what I really wanted to do today in this podcast is, you know, you've gone from, you know, not knowing anything about SEO to learning about SEO and teaching yourself how to build a content site from scratch. And, you know, you've successfully been able to actually sell that content site for, you know, six figures. So, you know, really what I'd like to do is just go through, you know, what the journey of that was like, and, you know, the journey of building that content site and, you know, ultimately being able to actually sell it. So, you know, what were some of the key strategies that you employed to, you know, generate over 100,000 organic visitors and ultimately be able to successfully sell it?
Yeah. Basically, I didn't start with SEO with this website. Before that, I had been doing SEO for clients, and I had a lot of experience. I was very confident, and I knew exactly what I should do. Back then in 2021, it was a little bit easier than now. The Google updates were not so harsh like now. And with high quality content and backlinks, you could achieve a lot, basically. That was my focus. I didn't want to do many things, but to focus on the most important things. Content and backlinks. The key success for me was that I wanted to do the job that most bloggers do for 3 or 5 years. I saw that something for them happened after the second year, the third year, after 5, 6 years of blogging. I saw that they're getting traction, they're getting success. But I wondered, okay, if I publish 500 articles for 6 months or 300 articles for 6 months, and if I build a few hundred, 3 or 5 years, if quantity of job, the same amount of job, just for 6 months, what would be the result of that? And that was my strategy.
Okay, so it sounds like you really, you know, got into the industry, understood and reverse engineered, like, what some of the best do, and, you know, really just hyper focused on things that really move the needle in terms of actually building a business like this.
Yeah, absolutely.
What kind of inspired you to even get into the online business world in the first place, and specifically into content? Like, you, yeah, before that,
that's a good question.
Yeah,
back then, I didn't even imagine that I will do a computer job, any computer job. So I was in the UK for a couple of months, working laboring jobs, farming jobs, like picking up vegetables and fruits for a couple of months. And it was not very pleasant experience, because basically you work on harsh weather conditions for very little money. Yeah, and when I get back to my country, I was wondering what I'm going to do. I don't want to slave like that anymore. I'd like to learn some skills and to work something different. And I was looking for fields, for professions. So programming wasn't for me. I hate math. And I just bought a PHP course and I watched it for 2 days and I was sick of it. Yeah. And I was looking for another interesting thing, and SEO grabbed my mind, because the person who was teaching in that SEO course explained it like that. You should like copywriting and you should be creative. I think I have, and also I like to write essays when I was at school. So I decided I should give it a go. That was around 10 years ago. And I started learning SEO. I was watching and consuming a lot of content. This guy Randy Fishkin back then was super popular with his on YouTube, and probably I consumed all the videos. But SEO was super difficult to understand, because it has many nuances and the information is not straightforward. So I was reading in forums, I was reading on Facebook groups, and everybody is saying something different than the other person. So for a few years, I didn't have any confidence in myself to try SEO. I didn't want to do SEO job for clients as well, not to corrupt their websites. So for a couple of years, I was writing articles and doing just content. And after that, I started doing backlinks, doing link building. And after that, I combined both links and content.
Yeah, that's very interesting, because, you know, a lot of the business owners that I talk to that, you know, operate content sites, and generally speaking in the SEO community, like, I see that a lot of those people are very sort of technical oriented or mathematically oriented, and
yeah,
honestly not that creative in a sense. So, you know, it's very interesting to hear that you know sort of really looked at this from a creative aspect. And yeah, it sounds like you've mentioned a couple of times, like, content and link building, and those are the two, you know, sort of most important things that, you know, sort of helped you build your first success with your first content site, Throw It My Way. So, you know, with that being said, like, I mean, could you share some, like, insights into your approach in to SEO and link building that really, you know, contributed to the success of your previous?
Do you want me to speak about the content or the links?
Both, or whatever. Okay. Whatever insights or approach you took to, you know, the content and the link building.
Okay, content
as,
first.
As you mentioned, you know, there's so many points of, like, conflicting information in this industry. And
it's, oh, now it's easier.
Yeah, it's very difficult to, you know, sort of see, okay, what actually works, and what you've built and what you've been able to achieve is, like, obviously works, because you've done it.
Back then it was even more difficult, but nowadays, yeah, you can find proper information and guidance. Okay, I will tell you about my approach with creating content and backlinks. First, let's begin with content. Back then in 2020, AI wasn't so popular yet and so advanced like now. And what I did was to go to Upwork and hire writers. I was hiring writers from native-speaking countries, such as the United States, Australia, New Zealand, the UK, Canada, and that's it. And those writers usually had pretty expensive rates, such as 8 cents per word, 10 cents per word, which is probably not so expensive from first look. But if you imagine that I order tens of thousands of words per week, it will end up a lot of money. So what I did was that I bargained with them that I can afford only 4 cents per word, which is $40 per 1,000 words. And I gave them the briefs for the articles. So they were getting the article half written, all the headlines, H to here, the next H to, the next H to. And on the top of that, I was recording a short video with Loom where I was speaking for 3-5 minutes straight. In this article, I want this. In this paragraph, I want you to mention this. In the next paragraph, I want you to include those statistics from this page. And at the bottom of the post, include those five frequently asked questions and answer them with 50 words per frequently asked question. And end up with a short conclusion up to 50 words where the main thesis is this. And they were receiving the article and they were just straightforward starting writing. They didn't spend any time researching the topic, spending time to create their own brief or to check what competitors are writing on that topic. So it was a great advantage for them because they saved so much time and energy of researching. So I was doing half of their job. But at the same time, it was good for me because I was doing this research from SEO point of view, from SEO perspective. So I was ensuring that they will hit the search intent. And after they finish the article will be also very competitive. I was trying to create the best article for each topic. And this is how, with my approach, I managed to get it cheaper and to get my SEO perspective into every article. This is about content.
Yeah, I mean, it's like when I think about it, like, I mean, when were you doing this? Because like from you know, from the time that you were doing this to like now, like there was so much grind and legwork that you had to do to be able to like actually produce content. And now, you know, you can pop up a brief and, you know, sort of give that sort of,
yeah, exactly.
In like 2 seconds. Right. But you were like in the grind doing it.
I was grinding a lot, but now I wouldn't do the same. Never. And there is two reasons. Because first, even if I hire the same writers and I tell them, okay, we're going to do the same project and we're going to do the same type of work, and I pay them fixed price again, they would be idiots if they don't use AI, because AI is so helpful in content creation, in research and everything. I don't believe there are many writers in the world that don't use ChatGPT and other AI tools. So now the approach would be much different to probably, if you want pure content without any AI in it, just hire writers per hour and allow them to use only their brain and tell them that AI is not allowed to use. Or the other option is to utilize AI and to use it for your advantage, but humanize it as well.
Absolutely. And that's actually very interesting when you think about it, because like, you know, when you were doing that, that wasn't that long ago, right?
Yeah.
So much has changed, you know, in a very short period of time. One thing that sort of pops in my mind is like, when you were looking for those who were writing the content, like in terms of like actual expertise and experience in the actual subject that they were writing about, like, was that an important factor of like choosing?
Absolutely not, because I was the expert in those topics, like blogging, make money online, SEO. That was the first batch of all the articles, probably 200 articles, were around those topics. So for every topic, I knew what should be in it. And when I checked the competitors, I got even clearer picture about what I want in this article, what would give me a competitive edge among the competitors. I just hired generalists. If you hire someone who is a specialist in this niche, then they will charge you a lot. I mean, like probably 20 cents per word or something like that, just because they understand a little bit of this topic.
Okay. Okay. That's interesting. So like, let's say that you were doing this today, right? Would you, and you were trying to build a site that, you know, you didn't really have subject matter expertise in that particular subject, would you see the value in like hiring someone who like really does have expertise and experience in it if you didn't? Or would you kind of try and use AI to like understand or at least have some sort of subject matter expertise in the content site that you're looking to build?
Again, that's a difficult question because, again, you don't know how much more this specialist will charge you just because they specialize in that niche. If it's a doc website and this is the doc writer, I don't think that it will be worth it because probably they will charge you five times more money.
Yeah. Okay. That's very interesting. And so, you know, with that, so content side of things, you know, you really understood the subject and you were able to provide like a system in a sense to those.
Absolutely, where
others weren't really willing or even able to, you know, be able to provide like clear instructions. So you sort of arbitrage that, which is fantastic. So in terms of the link building though, I mean, with the previous site that you sold, thrivemyway.com, like you had some incredible backlinks to some really high authority sites. So, you know, I'd love to sort of get your insight in link building.
Yeah, absolutely. First of all, I've been doing link building as a service for many years. I even worked at SEMrush. My job there was link building. So
okay.
I really understand it from every possible angle. Just want to explain that to the listeners. It's not some surprise that happened. And I used many different methods. For example, guest posting was a very strong part of my game. Link partnerships and also linkable assets. Building many linkable assets and leaving them to sit still, and some of them were picking up a lot of links during the months, during the years. I got links from BBC, from Forbes Brazil, couple of links of from Entrepreneur, MSN, Yahoo, and all those links for free, naturally, to my linkable assets.
Yeah, I mean, that's something like if people are listening to this podcast right now, like, you know, the name drops that you mentioned, like, they'd be like, give me the secret sauce, Georgie. Like, tell me how to do that, especially if you know, done that naturally. So, like, what was some of the, you know, some of the methods that you said guest posting and what else?
Yeah, guest posting, it goes together with the link partnerships because usually in one guest post, they allow you to include, let's say, two links. One link in the author bio with branded anchor going to your homepage and another link within the article. And it's natural to include a couple of more backlinks in the article referring to some statistics, for example, linked to some relevant content, just to include some outbound links. And here comes the place for your partners that are in the same industry like you or neighboring industry. And you are linking to useful pages from their websites. And when they do guest posting, they return the favor and they link back to your resources. So this is how you multiply the effort. And with one guest post, you make two links plus a couple of more links from partners.
So could you run me through like just a simple practical example of how that would work? Like, for example, throw it my way.
Yeah. Now, for example, I publish a guest post on another website, and I include links to my website, Thrive My Way, my ex website. I sold it, obviously. And you are my partner. You have your own website, Christine Jacobson, and you have some relevant articles, some statistical posts that are relevant to my guest post topic. So, in some relevant paragraph, instead of linking to Wikipedia or linking to Forbes or BBC, some famous website, I will link to a friend. I will link to you. After that, I will send you the link and I will tell, hey, buddy, I linked to you here. Here you go. And I rely that when you publish a guest post, maybe after 1, 2, 3 weeks, you will return the favor and you will link to me, to my website.
Ah, okay, interesting. So you would like post you would like link to a like a I guess a smaller blog in that sense or something, and then like you would actually like reach out to the owner of that blog and say, hey, I just released a guest post like I just released a post and linked you to your site. And sort of like started the conversation that way, in a sense, or like
The
it.
conversation is already started, actually, and they're already partners and we know each other. So it's not someone new that I'm trying to approach and give them a link to get their attention. We have the deal, for example, and I know what they're looking for and they know as well. So this is how it goes.
Okay, so it sounds like you were really also good with like relationships too, which is something that may not be something that people in this space are really focused on or good at in a sense.
Yeah, you are right. And those conversations for link partnerships, they are very exhausting because there's a lot of back and forth. They ask you, oh, which is this website? Let me check it. Give me a couple of hours. So the best idea here is to hire a virtual assistant and outsource this job to them. And once you set the processes that they can follow, this job is really easy. So this is how I've been doing it. Sometimes I do it myself, together with my assistant, but basically, this is their job, and I build processes for them to follow.
Awesome. So, I mean, I might be asking some silly sort of like SEO related questions because it's, not my area of expertise. As you know, I mean, really my area of expertise is like helping people that are building content sites or any other sort of online business to, actually sell their online business if they're looking to. Sort of hence why we connected in the first place a while back. But I know that you were able to successfully sell your content site to Thrive My Way, and that was a very interesting journey going through that process. But could because it is a very complex sort of process. But could you walk me through, how you navigated the sale of that site and, some of the things that, sort of were a challenge and some of the things that you, sort of learnt through the process of actually selling a content site and, cashing in
Yeah,
on
I
a
learned a
pretty good
lot
deal.
from that process of trying to sell the website and eventually selling it. So first, I decided that I'm going to sell through Empire Flippers. You were working there back then, basically.
That's when we first connected.
Yeah, but they offered me very low evaluation, and I was just shocked. I couldn't believe that this is possible, and I didn't agree with that, and I tried other brokers. I went
And
to,
I agreed with you too, hence
yeah,
why.
I remember that I went to other brokers to test the waters there. Micro Acquires, I think, acquired just a couple of more. They gave me higher offers, but still, I thought that I could do better. And then I went to Flippa, and I I asked friends, what do you think about Flipper? They said, no, 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 don't go there. It's terrible. They said many bad things, basically, and I was wondering why. The biggest player in the industry, and everybody is so disappointed. And I went to read the reviews. So there were many one-star reviews about Flipper, and I studied them. And everybody said that their support doesn't answer, and that you need premium service if you go there, which makes sense. So basically, those that were hating on Flipper were people that didn't get attention, that didn't get the support from Flipper. And I checked that there is a possibility, an alternative to hire an agent from Flipper to buy the premium service for $600, I think, and to have your dedicated agent who will walk you through the whole process and will just hold your hand, basically. And this is what I did. I bought the most expensive plans for $600. I got my agent. He told me that we can list the website for more than one and see what will happen. That was in the beginning of July 2020, I think. So we listed it, and I started getting many questions from different potential buyers. And at the same time, I was trying to sell the website on my own because I myself have many connections in the space, and I were reaching out to my connections, asking them, hey, do you want to check this website? I'm selling it right now. And I was very close to sell to one other company, which is very well known in our industry, and they are acquiring websites all the time. But they were late with a few days, and the other guy from Flipper bought the website.
Okay, so that's a very interesting journey because, like, yeah, I mean, as you mentioned, you know, we first connected while I was in a role with M-Bar Flippers, and, you know, not to downplay like what Empire Flippers is really capable of, but, you know, they don't really, you know, when I remember, you know, when we first started really talking about the potential sale, like the site was relatively new in a way, and, you know, there was a lot of things where, you know, it really required like a very sort of special or like a very specific kind of buyer, right? So, you know, I think the main differences was like with Empire Flippers, they weren't entirely sure as to, you know, what sort of buyers they would have. But, you know, with Flipper, they've got such a large buyer pool, and it's very much an open marketplace in a sense, that, you know, you can really go, you know, aggressive with the asking price. But it's very interesting that you mentioned, you know, the sort of the feedback of, like, you know, when you're asking around the community around, you know, what do you think of Flipper? And a lot of people were like, no, you don't want to go there.
Yeah.
But it's very interesting because it's like, you know, I see a lot of sellers, you know, they want to go to the absolute cheapest option possible, which is basically just, you know, getting paying to just get on the platform. But they have to do everything themselves, and they've never sold a business before in their life, right? So, you know, they don't even upload like financials, or, you know, they misrepresent the company. They don't really merchandise it properly. And then they wonder like, oh, well, like, I'm not getting any interest. And it's like, well, yeah, because you're not an expert in this, but you saw beyond that and you were like, yeah, well, actually I'm going to get someone who knows what they're doing in terms of selling a site and, you know, leverage on their expertise. So it was a very interesting process. What did you find being, you know, one of the biggest challenges in terms of, like, you know, actually selling the site? Like, what were some of the sticking points that you had to overcome?
Honestly said, there were not many challenges because the website is good. It had decent content and amazing backlinks. One of the problems and my mistakes actually was that I was trying to sell during the summer, in the middle of the summer, July. Okay. So when I listed it for one listing price, and on the second day I had this buyer super interested in the website, and he asked me, hey, which payment method do you prefer? Like the first sentence. And I was, what?
Here's my money.
Yeah.
Okay. And I said, whatever. I asked him, whatever you want. I'm fine with everything.
Yeah. I'm not going to stop. Whatever payment method you want to pay. Yeah. And like, go
and,
for it.
And then he went silent for 3 weeks. And I forgot about him because there are many people on Flippa. Flippa is a great place because it has a larger buyer pool. But there are so many people on Flippa that just ask. They just ask for Google Analytics. They just ask for information. They just try to learn something from you. And I thought, okay, this guy is one of them. But then I dropped the price because after 3 weeks, I didn't sell it and I wanted to accelerate the sale. And I spoke with my advisor, Ashwin. Credit to Ashwin, by the way. He was a great guy, very helpful. And he told me, okay, we can make one drop. So if you want to make a drop of the price, just one time. We are not doing many small drops. Just decide what is the minimum that you can sell. And I said, okay, I want to sell it for no less than $100,000. Absolutely. Because even a little bit more than that. And he said, okay, let's list it for one. And if someone approaches you, you still have room to go a little bit lower. We listed it. 2 days later, the same guy who had started this funny conversation reached out and said, hey, sorry, bro, I was on vacation for 3 weeks. So I'm back here. Let's finalize it. That's my offer. And I took the offer and the deal was done in 4 days. 4 days. No due diligence, nothing. He was super easy to do business with. And this made me to sell the website exactly to this person because he was easygoing and he was also busy. He didn't have time to play around. There were a few more potential buyers that could pay more, but I was just feeling that they're more tense, they're harsh people to do business with. They could be probably 5 weeks due diligence. And during that time, anything happens. A Google update may strike. If your website goes down, then they may negotiate the offer and offer less money.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, all platforms try to do their absolute best to, you know, filter out just tire kickers, but, you know, inevitably you're going to get people that are just not serious in buying the business. And but it's really great to hear that you were ultimately happy with, you know, the process and you ended up finding, you know, the deal that you were looking for. And it sounded like a pretty relatively smooth process, especially if you didn't do any due diligence, which is a bonus.
Yeah, but my website was super transparent about everything. My P&L reports were great. I gave the guy access to my Google Analytics, Google Search Console. Everything was so transparent that he didn't need much time to check. So they were checking the very basic things like incomes from Mediavine, incomes from affiliates, sponsored posts. Everything was perfect from my side. So that was easy.
Awesome. So, you know, when did you actually end up selling the business?
At the end of July, so for 4 weeks, I think.
Okay, so July. So, yeah, that was a very interesting, like, and a very good timing in that sense as well, because sort of in December last year, you know, Google algorithm updates sort of like havoc a lot, you know. So
exactly.
I mean, in moving forward, like, you know, if someone's listening to this podcast and they're, you know, trying to start and grow their own content site, what advice would you really give them right now in terms of actually growing their blog in 2020?
Well, you know, it didn't change so much than before. Still, high quality content and backlinks are very important, no matter what other people say. But you still need to see what works right now. So obviously, you need to have other channels of traffic. You can't rely only on Google. You should develop your social media pages. You should be good on TikTok, LinkedIn, Pinterest, if it's your niche, food or travel, something like that. And Reddit as well. You should dominate those places as well and get traffic from them. And this will help you as well for Google, because when Google see that your website gets traffic from other sources like YouTube, Pinterest, etc., this is...
Hence why we're doing one.
Yeah. Well, this is how the game changed, basically. You need to treat your blog as a real brand in 2024 and ahead.
Yeah. That makes sense from a general business perspective, in my experience. But, honestly, Georgie, like I talk to a lot of content site owners every single week, and a lot of the time, they mention, that that's something that they, quote unquote, should be doing, but just don't do it. So, what do you think the hurdle is that, or what do you think stops most content site owners from actually doing that? Because they seem to be aware that that's something that they need to do generally, but they just don't do it.
As you said in the beginning of our conversation, many of them are too technical and they just don't want to be the star of their blog, I guess. They don't want to show their face on camera or something. And it's also not so easy to produce good video content for TikTok and YouTube Shorts. It's very tricky. I'm trying this now and I don't have good success. But I hope that after a couple of months, I will get better and I will get views, I will get traffic. So this is the journey for the next months, for the next years, to be good on other platforms as well.
Do you think also that there might be some sort of like sediment or sort of idea that, in this particular space, particularly that, the marketing of like starting a blog and it can come across, or it can be perceived as like, make money quick, sort of get rich quick by blogging sort of thing, like from like residual, sort of people that were like promoting something on blog and stuff like that. Like it feels like there's a bit of a sense of like laziness in a sense from people that actually try and build a blog. Would you agree with that? Or
what was the question actually?
So like, it seems like it's just like extra work or like an extra level of like, really building a brand in that sense. And, would you agree that a lot of people that try and enter this space just do it in the sense that they think that they can just make money sort of quickly and easily?
Or probably, yes. Probably they have watched someone on YouTube that tells them, hey, it's super easy. You just buy this domain from Bluehost. And you buy hosting, and after that you go to ChatGPT, you produce 100 articles, you post them, and after 30 days, you rank for some keywords, and you monetize, and you make money. But in reality, it doesn't happen like that, and you should look into that as a part-time job at least, as a long-term project, because it's not so easy. But yeah, I guess that some people are getting false information and taking this route.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you. That's what I really like and respect about you, Georgie, is that you really treat like whatever you do as like a real business, like and you don't sort of do a half-baked job on it. Like if you go for something, like you're really going to give it your all and actually treat it like a real business rather than just sort of like a hobby in a sense, which is something that I really, really respect about you, man. So with that being said, like we've spoken a lot about how much change there's been in this particular industry. And so, how do you stay ahead of the curve with like technology and AI and algorithms and also really what the consumer of this sort of content really, you know, expects. Like, how do you stay ahead of the curve?
Well, first about, let me tell you about AI. For 1 year, probably, I was in denial. I thought, okay, this is hype. AI can't be so good to produce blog articles. And I was just ignoring it for 1 year. And during that time, it developed more and more. And at the end of 2020, I said to myself that it's the moment that I have to start. Yeah, I said to myself that I have to finally study how AI works and to use it in my processes.
So you really, like, initially, you know, like most people, you sort of like, it might just be a fad, you know, it's like not really a serious thing, but...
Yeah, because there's so much hype in other stuff, and I thought this is one of those things that are overhyped.
Just like they've said for... I heard a joke from a friend in the SEO community that, well, for every year for the last 10 years, they've said SEO is dead.
Yeah.
but it still hasn't happened. So, you know, okay, so really, like, you really try and stick to fundamentals, but if there's something that keeps popping up all over and over that makes, you know, business sense, like, you just say, okay, I'm going to learn this, I'm going to explore it and really, you know, sort of look at...
Yeah, you have to be very adaptive to the changes that are happening and see what works now and realize that what works now probably will not work forever. So now you see that parasite SEO is working very well. If you publish an article on LinkedIn, probably it will rank super well and you'll get many eyeballs to this article. If you publish something on your own subreddit, if you create subreddit and publish your content there, it will rank as well. But I guess that it will not be the case after 2 years, for example. So you should see what works now and use it until it stops working.
Yeah, that's super valuable advice for those that are listening. So, you know, if there's anyone or any person that you really find value out of, like, you know, what sort of content or, like, you know, strategies that are working today that you've really, you know, leveraged on, like, is there anyone in particular that you follow or listen to that you find a lot of value of from what they're saying?
There are some people, some communities that I'm following. For example, I've been a member in this Slack group, Traffic Think Tank. It's a paid community of marketers, and from other members, I have learned a lot. I am following some YouTube channels as well. For example, Charles Flood gives good advice about SEO. And there is one other guy, but he is not posting much recently, Glenn Alsop from Detailed. So, yeah, there are not so many people. There are a few.
Yeah, absolutely. And I would imagine that they're, you know, don't have a huge following or not really well known, but, you know, what they're really talking about is very practical and actually, like, you know, provides results, if I'd imagine.
Exactly, yeah, you are right.
All right, awesome. Well, look, we're going to wrap this up in a bit, but, you know, being an entrepreneur yourself, you know, there's a lot of highs and lows in the journey of being an entrepreneur. Like, what would you say some of the most memorable highs and lows that you've had throughout your journey that you'd like to sort of share, and what did you learn from them?
Lows. About lows, I don't know, because I don't really remember about lows. About highs, when I started seeing that Thrive My Way is getting traffic at the beginning, in the first months, and hitting 100 organic traffic in the first 6 months, and after that 300,000 organic traffic, and getting all those links naturally to the website, and receiving 30 guest post requests per day, so many brands asking for partnership. That was great.
Yeah. So it went from, like, you know, really doubting if this is working and like the path that you're on is, you know, gonna, you know, actually result in anything, to like, you know, just clicking and then it's all of a sudden like, you know, rock and rolling, you know. And that's, you know, having the entrepreneurial doubt, I guess you could
say. Yeah, but not exactly. I was confident that I'm going to succeed with this project. When I was starting, I knew that I have to put a lot of effort. I have to put a lot of resources in terms of money, energy, time, everything. And my goal was to succeed with it. I knew that whatever I do, I have to succeed with this project. And this is what I'm doing now with my new project. I'm looking at it like a long-term project. I'm not going to sell it. I'm not planning to sell it. I'm just growing it. If it doesn't make any money in the first year, that's fine. No problem. I continue. Second year, fine. No problem. I continue pushing it. So eventually it will get traction and it will succeed.
So it sounds like you know at some point, if you just keep doing the right things for a long enough period of time, you know, you're going to win at some point.
Yeah, the law of consistency.
Yeah, I love it, man. And so what you said you're working on something now. Like, what is it that you're working on? Like, you know, here's your chance to do a plug on what you're working on and what you're doing at the moment.
Yeah, as you can see, the role banner behind me.
Yeah,
create and grow.
I see that. I need this to get some myself. Yeah. I love the promotion.
Createandgrow.com is my new project, my new website. And the goal there is to treat it as my personal brand. And I will use it to sell my services, to sell consultations, to sell my courses. I have two courses that I've been selling, and also to get brands for sponsorship, basically to make money, to teach others, to get clients. So that's my business now.
Awesome.
Besides of that, I have other smaller sites that I'm developing and trying to test some things on them, trying to monetize them, etc.
Awesome, man. So you've got Create and Grow, and you've got the Create and Grow show, which I'm definitely going to pop a link on this podcast episode below for those that are interested in diving into more of the, you know, strategies and methods that George is using. And I, you know, briefly checked out some of the episodes, and you're providing a huge amount of value in those episodes. If someone, you know, really wants to reach out and, you know, sort of look at how they could work with you, like where's the best place for them to connect with you?
Yeah, the best place is LinkedIn. I'm there every day. So if you want to reach out to me, send me an invite on LinkedIn, send me a message, and I can't miss it.
Awesome. And he's a great guy too. He's, you know, very, very friendly, very, you know, willing to help those that are looking to succeed. And, you know, it's great to, you know, have you as a friend, and, you know, to have you as a guest, and hopefully people that'll listen to this episode get...
Thanks, Christian. Likewise. I'm waiting for you in Varna.
Yeah. Yeah.
At the end of April,
yeah,
where you'll be a speaker here at our local event.
I'm looking forward to it too. It'll be my first time in Bulgaria, and yeah, I'm looking forward to meeting the community there. It's
one
like a lot of fun time. So
yeah, 1 week you'll have some memories, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. Awesome, man. Well, I appreciate you jumping on, and really appreciate you dropping some really valuable insights on this podcast, man. And appreciate everything that you do.
Thank you for having me, Christian. Have a good evening.
Awesome.
Bye-bye. Bye.